I like that we have the little woodpecker commenting on our services this morning. Isn't that lovely? That's beautiful. Yeah. Let us pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There is a television commercial from the 1970s that has been lodged in my gray matter, using up valuable brain cells for all these decades. As I begin this sermon today, it seems like it seems to have finally earned its keep. As cheesy as it is, the commercial serves as a good illustration for something that troubles me and wants attention. The commercial goes like this. A young man approaches the entrance to an exclusive club. He knocks on the door, whereupon a small window in the door slides open and a stylish-looking concierge peeks out at him. This imposing personage takes in the newcomer, sizing him up, as it were, and it is soon quite clear that he doesn't like what he sees. With a disapproving scowl and making no attempt to hide his disdain, the gatekeeper says two words. Members only. Next, the window in the door slides closed, the door remains implacably shut, and the hapless fellow slumps away, looking dejected and more than a little unkempt. Next, the scene repeats. The scenario is exactly the same, except that the young hopeful now looks considerably more dapper. As he knocks on the door, he can be seen pulling at his collar with a confident smile. And voila! When the window in the door slides open, the same concierge, after a brief glance, welcomes the man in with a bow. The commercial, it is now revealed, is for a brand of clothes that is called Members Only. If you want to be a member, wear Members Only clothes. This line of clothing will solve all of your problems of alienation. Put on the Members Only jacket and you will be accepted. Even as a kid, the message was clear to me. Some people are members, others are not. You better be part of the club. Being part of the club is nice. Having the door shut in your face? That's not nice. That feels bad. But even though the message was clear, I can tell you that I detested that message. I was a kind of dumpy kid myself, so I knew what it was like to feel uncool. I hated the way the concierge excluded the other guy just because he was wearing crappy clothes. So what? I may have been a kid, but I knew that that was stupid. It was phony. Clothes don't make you cool. That was my dumpy kid intuition, and I knew that even though I was uncool, I was right. But that made it all worse, because in spite of my conviction, I also had to acknowledge that the commercial made some real and canny observations about human existence. For example, do you notice how the most phony person in the story is also the person with all the power? There is some real truth to that. What a drag. But that's not the worst thing. The worst thing about the commercial was also true, and a real indictment of humanity. The worst thing was that in order to be a member of the club, the newcomer had to become stupid and phony too. Ugh. Is this really the way it is? I had to admit that school was kind of like that. But was life really going to turn out that way? Yuck. That would be fine if you were in the club. But if you were standing outside wearing the wrong clothes, that would really stink. This members-only problem that I have illustrated may have been one of the reasons why I spent half of my life feeling positively allergic to Christianity. Not just Christianity, religion in general. No matter where you go in the world, people get uppity about how their God has chosen them as special, and the rest of you are out in the cold. The Bible, of course, is no exception. It's full of members-only attitude. In the passage from Genesis that we just heard a few moments ago, God has a kind of members-only conversation with Abram. Walk before me and be blameless, God says to Abram, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous. After giving Abram a new name, God goes on to say, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. I don't think it would be overstating it to say that this passage is the origin story not only of Israel, but all the Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. All three of the world's great monotheistic traditions draw their lineage back to Abraham, and this is the moment when Abraham was chosen. Here, God makes a sweeping promise to make Abraham and all his descendants special. They will be honored. They will be loved. Loved by God. Abraham and all his descendants will be the chosen people. But need I say it? Every time there's a chosen people, there is also inevitably a not chosen people. And how does it feel to be the not chosen people? Not chosen by God. It feels great to be chosen by God, but it feels pretty bad to be not chosen, the not chosen people. For a long time, this structural unfairness, this built-in preference on God's part, made me feel bad about religion. I felt a lot more comfortable being on the outside, because there, at least, I felt like I had some integrity. I didn't have to wear the right clothes or state the proper creed in order to fit in. I could be myself. And even if I wasn't part of the club, that was okay with me. But something changed when my father died. I've preached about this before. That grief that confronted me with the reality that I wasn't entirely sufficient all by myself. I couldn't just assume that my position on the outside was all that there was. I had to admit that I needed help. I needed other people to help me with this new and painful mystery. And when I looked again at the story of Jesus, I discovered in him another person who had suffered. Another person much wiser than myself who encountered mystery.